chapter 9, discusses where the immortal soul goes after its departure and what its state then is, considers also the resurrection of our bodies, the joy of eternal bliss, and the torment of eternal damnation. 1. Since souls are immortal, where do they go and what happens to them when they depart from the body? Scripture informs us about this in a most beautiful and comforting manner in the following passages. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 10:28. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Ecclesiastes 12:7. I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Philippians 1:23. The repentant malefactor, when he gave up his spirit, said to the Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Luke 23:42-43. The souls of the righteous are in the hand of God, and there shall no torment touch them. In the sight of the unwise they seem to die, and their departure is taken for misery, and their going from us to be utter destruction. But they are in peace. Wisdom of Solomon 3:1-3. But the righteous man, if he be perverted with death, shall be in rest. Wisdom of Solomon 4:7. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Hebrews 4:9. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And again, now he is comforted and thou tormented. Luke 16:22-25. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. John 14:2-3. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5:1. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Ye shall see me, because I live, ye shall live also. John 14:19. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Colossians 3:2. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Galatians 4:26. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11. Notice, dear soul, that these wonderfully beautiful and highly comforting passages, which have proceeded from out of the mouth of God, assure us that the souls of men are entirely different from their bodies. For they are spirits like the angels and are immortal. And when the souls of the righteous are separated from the bodies, they will be brought by the holy angels and carried to God, and will be there at home with the Lord, with Christ. There they live in paradise, in heaven above, and move in indescribable glory and joy, and will be lovingly comforted in purity and glory, and are in rest, in peace, in God's hand, without all distress, anguish, grief, and want. For when the souls separate from the bodies, they are then free and do more without the body than they did before. For in this life, the body makes it very difficult for the soul and is a hindrance. But since they now here on earth, in their mortal, miserable bodies, praise God, call on Him, serve Him, rejoice and comfort themselves in Him, and delight themselves in all His works, how much more gloriously will not they do such things outside of the body, since they are without sin, without weakness, and have no hindrance whatsoever? Listen carefully, dear soul. This can certainly be beautiful and comforting. Who would want to be afraid of death? By contrast, the souls of the unbelievers come directly into the power of the devil and will be carried into the place of torment, as can be seen in the case of the rich man's soul. They are there in unrest, discord, distress, in pain and woe, without any comfort and grace, in stench and darkness, and in constant weeping and gnashing of teeth until the last day. Then their misery and wretchedness will become really great and will never have an end. Lord Jesus Christ, my comfort and my delight, how my soul longs for Thee! Yes, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my living God. O when shall I come and appear before Thee? O how fed up and weary I am of this dreary vale of tears, wherein I work for Thee, my God, in the service of Thy church. I must also say with dear St. Paul, but if I live in the flesh, that is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I know not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, and to be with Christ, which is far better. Lord Jesus, Thou eternal wisdom, Thou knowest my time, my days are in Thy hands. Unyoke me, my Lord, when it is Thy will. My heart longs for rest, yes, for eternal living rest, to come out from this darkness into light, from sadness into joy, from unrest unto peace, from weariness into glory, from weakness into perfection. Lord Jesus, Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that my soul truly loves Thee, and longingly awaits that time when I shall see Thee face to face. Just see, dear Savior, how the tears of love flow from my eyes. See that my eyes weep for joy, and my heart is sick with love, that it sighs, thirsts, desires, and wishes to be at home with Thee, and to rest on Thy bosom, in Thy arms. My Lord and my God, how fine I will be there! Surely my soul will cry out with great joy and say, Here it is good, here it is good, Lord Jesus. Remember me in Thy kingdom, and say to my soul, Today shalt Thou be with me in paradise. Amen. 2. Don't the souls long for their bodies, since they know that their bodies are decaying so pitiably in the cold ground? And doesn't the time seem long to them because the last day and the resurrection of the bodies are delayed? I myself must confess that such thoughts often trouble a person. But then we are to remember this. First of all, since our souls, after their departure, are with Christ and dwell in purity and glory, they will, therefore, have a much greater understanding and wisdom, and will know much more clearly the wonderfully righteous counsel and will of God. Therefore, they know well and completely that no misfortune whatever will befall their bodies in the ground, but that they rest very softly and quietly, and that every speck of dust and every tiny portion of their bodies will be preserved by the almighty power of God, so that nothing will be lost until the time of the resurrection comes. Secondly, the souls of the blessed are also in a place of such joy that no impetuous or sorrowful longings and desires can come to them. For even though they unceasingly think about their bodies and anticipate God's judgment day, as can be seen from the book of Revelation 6:9-10, yet their thoughts and anticipations are not sad, but are a part of the bliss in which they move and to the glory and praise of God, to whom they give the honor and are governed by His will. Children of God still do such things in this miserable life, since they still wander about in their bodies and long for the final redemption and sigh after the coming of Christ. And whoever does not have such longings certainly has no love for his Lord Jesus. Then should not the dear souls with Christ wish that finally all the sinful ways in the world shall cease and ask for the eternal perfection? But that such longings and anticipations should bring sadness, distress, or painful desires is not possible, for they are with the Lord God outside of this world. There is no time, and no distinction of years and days exists. But where there is no time, there can also be no troublesome longings or desires. For the Scripture says, 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Psalm 90, verse 4. And again, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. 2 Peter 3:8. Therefore, dear soul, put away such thoughts, and give yourself into the hand of the Lord. He is your Creator, your God, your comfort, your rest, your shelter, and your full satisfaction, both during and after this present life, and hereafter in all eternity. Lord Jesus Christ, thou seest and knowest that I love thy appearing in my heart. With all my power I pray that thou wouldst destroy this ungodly, sinful world by thy coming. Bring down thy righteous judgment upon the devil and all our enemies, and let the eternal life of joy begin, where thou wilt be all in all. Yes, my Lord Jesus, all other creatures earnestly expect and long for it, that they might be freed from the vanity to which they are subjected in hope. Should not we, children of God, also long for our final redemption? If it be thy holy will, Lord Jesus, and if thou hast decided that I should live to see thy joyful coming, then so be it, my Lord and my Redeemer. Oh, how I will listen to thy trumpet with such great joy, and will leap exultingly to meet thee in the air. But if thou wilt let me fall asleep before that time, and take my soul to thee in blissful paradise, then see, here I am, and will gladly go with thee. But there too I will not cease to exhort thy name with joyful sighs, and say, hurry and come quickly. Yes, come, my Lord Jesus, come to judge the living and the dead. Amen. 3. Do you believe for certain that these bodies of ours will again rise from the dead and live eternally together with the souls? Yes, indeed. I confess this in my articles of faith and say, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. For when our Lord Jesus comes again on the last day for judgment, then before him shall be gathered all nations, dead and alive, wicked and godly. Then the earth will deliver up its dead, and the sea will give up its dead. In a moment the souls will enter again into their deceased bodies, and will appear alive before the Lord. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, together with them, to meet the Lord in the air. Then the Lord will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Thereupon he will render his judgment, and say to those on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But to those on the left hand he will angrily say, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Dear soul, if you wish to have further testimony of Scripture on this, then give heed to the following words. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. Isaiah 26:19. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Matthew 22:31 and following, Exodus 3:6. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Daniel 12:2. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Job 19:25-27. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. John 5:25. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6:40. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. John 11:25 and 26. Look also at the examples, dear soul, and notice how easy it is for the Almighty Lord to raise the dead. In every case, it was necessary for him to say only a word. Notice that when he raised the dead young man, the only son of the widow at Nain, he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And at once the dead arose and was alive. So also he awakened with one word the little dead daughter of the ruler of the synagogue at Capernaum, and said, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." The same thing happened with Lazarus at Bethany, who had already lain in the grave for 4 days. The Lord said, "Lazarus, come forth." And immediately he came forth alive from his grave. Yes, my soul, such things seem impossible to the eyes and powers of men, but with our Lord and God, nothing shall be impossible. Just as a mother knows very well in which room or bed she has placed her little child to sleep, so that in the morning she comes again, wakens, and lifts it up, so also the Lord knows where our bodies, which were made his temple and dwelling, are sleeping. And it will be very easy for him to make alive once again our dead, cold, and even decomposed bodies and limbs, just as a mother awakens her sleeping infant in the cradle. But in addition to this, we have also our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of his church. He is not only an example, but is also a forerunner, yes, is the cause and source of our resurrection. For he died on account of our sins and was laid in the grave. But on the 3rd day he joyfully rose again for our justification. He now calls to us all and says, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Yes, my Lord Jesus, because thou livest, we too will surely live. For thou art the head, and we are thy members. Since thou art now risen, so we too shall most surely rise again. Since thou as the head now livest, then should not we as thy members also live? For that reason, my Lord Jesus, I hope for thy joyous coming, and every day sigh thus: God's judgment day will soon be here, in which the Lord, as Peter taught, will burn with fire the heavens and earth. Then will the world be terrified when they see the Lord of glory coming so quickly and so soon. How wonderfully all men will see the dead arising from their graves and standing all before the judge. There will then be no hiding place. Each must stand and hear the verdict, and listen as his sentence sounds. Then will be plain for all to hear what hitherto was in secret. All things will be clear on that day. The judge knows what is in the heart. He hears not only spoken words. He will make no mistake that day. I think on this by day and night, since I so great a sinner am. What shall I do? Where shall I go? O Jesus, precious Savior mine, thou wilt thyself the last judge be. Show me that day thy faithfulness. Remember all thy blessings great, which made me free from all my sins. Ah, Lord, cast me not off from thee. Thy death and pain and sore distress, which thou didst bear upon the tree, let it not in me be for naught. I pray and cry, O God, my Lord, help that I e'er with thee remain, before death quickly comes to me. Although my sinning knows no bounds, yet thy free grace much greater is. I will not yield to despair. When Mary lamented her sin, and the robber prayed unafraid, to none didst thou deny thy grace. Through all this thy boundless blessing, which abundantly shows itself, preserve me from the fires of hell. Grant that I stand at thy right hand, among the blessed sheep and lambs. Let me be far from all the goats. When some all lost shall go away from thee to suffer pains of hell, then lead me, Lord, to life above. Lord Jesus Christ, my joy and peace, I wait for thy time to take me. Come when thou wilt, I am prepared. Amen. 4. Will eternal life really be a life of glorious joy that is beyond all human comprehension? Yes, indeed, dear soul, you have well said, beyond all human comprehension. It is indeed beyond all that man can believe, think, and imagine. For Scripture itself says, Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9 and Isaiah 64:4. Eternal God, what joy, what bliss, what glory, what loving kindness will be there. Yes, my soul, who would not daily wish to think on this? Who would not gladly wish to hear about it, sing about it, talk about it? Who would not rather be there and possess such joy? But who will tell us about it? And where shall we hear something about it, that our hearts may rejoice and yearn for it? Dear soul, although the great prophet Isaiah, as well as the great apostle Paul, as already mentioned, grow silent about this and do not know how to describe it, still there are many beautiful passages in Holy Scripture in which the Holy Ghost tells us something about eternal bliss and which a person should consider well, namely, Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3:2. Yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job 19:26. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Matthew 13:43. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Daniel 12:3. God will be all in all. 1 Corinthians 15:28. So shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. The Lord shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Philippians 3:21. In the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Matthew 22:30. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Revelation 21:2-5. And again, And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Revelation 21:22-25. Again, the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve them. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. Revelation 22:3-5. Dear soul, these are all short passages, but nevertheless full of indescribable loveliness. For if Scripture similarly had great long sermons on this, then our miserable heart would be too weak and our understanding too inadequate to grasp it. Therefore the Holy Ghost has opened only a little window for us in these short passages. He permits us to have a little glimpse, so that we may know what we are to believe and hope for, and so that we might have some basis for our joy. But when we get there and take possession of this bliss, then surely each one of us will say to the others, as aged Elizabeth once said to the Holy Virgin Mary, "Blessed is she that believed." Luke 1:45. O eternal life, O glorious life, O everlasting joy and bliss, O eternal Jerusalem, thou holy city of God, thou beloved bride of my Lord Jesus Christ, I love thee in my heart, and my soul longs for thy beauty. O how beautiful, how glorious, how noble thou art! Thou art beautiful in every way, and there is no blemish in thee. When I think about thee, O Jerusalem that is above, then my heart longs for thee, yes, for Jerusalem, my mother, for Jerusalem, my fatherland, and for thee, Lord Jesus, who dwellest therein as the head, the light, the Lord, the eternal shepherd. O holy life, O blessed life, which God has prepared for them that love him. O thou living life, thou quiet life, thou peaceful life, in which there will be no death, no sadness, no sin, no pain, no anguish, no infirmities, no fear, no change. It will be a life full of all elegance and glory, where there are no adversaries, no sinful lusts, where there is perfect love and no fear, where there is one eternal day and one spirit in all, where one sees God face to face and every heart is filled to overflowing with the food of life. I desire to look upon thy purity, and my heart longs greatly for thy bliss. The more I think about thee, the sicker I become out of love for thee. O blessed art thou, my soul, when thou art released from thy earthly body and can freely go to heaven. How blessed thou wilt arrive there, how lovingly thou wilt be received. For all eternity thou wilt be still and safe, and need fear neither enemies nor death. Yes, thou wilt be with the Lord, thy God and Savior, forever. There he will always be near thee, and thou canst look upon him without ceasing. He who is the fairest among the children of men, dost thou not hear, my soul, how he calls to thee, and says with his charming voice, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come away, my elect ones, I desire thy beauty. Come and be joyful before my countenance with my angels, whose fellowship I have promised you. Come hither out of your manifold labor and danger, and enter into the joy of your Lord." Song of Solomon 2:10 and following. O rejoice, my soul, and be happy, thou beautiful daughter of a prince. For the king desires thy beauty, and the fairest among the children of men loves thy ornament. Blessed art thou, my soul, blessed art thou for ever and ever. O thou glorious life, if only I could behold thy glory, thy blessedness, thy beauty, thy gates and walls, thy streets and manifold dwellings, thy citizens, and thy mighty king, my beloved Lord Jesus Christ, in his adornments. For thy walls are of noble stones, thy gates of costly pearls, thy streets of pure gold, from which one sings unceasingly the beautiful Hallelujah. There is nothing of that which we suffer here, and which we see in this miserable life. In thee there is no darkness, no night, and no change of the times. In thee one does not go about with lanterns, and neither moon nor stars are shining, but God of God, light of light, and the Sun of righteousness is thy light eternally. The snow-white and unspotted Lamb of God is thy bright and beautiful light. The countenance of thy most beautiful King, which you always behold, is thy Son, thy purity, and all thy delight. Yes, the King of all kings is himself within you, and his servants are round about. There is the choir of angels which praises God. There is the fellowship of the citizens of heaven. There is the everlasting loving festival of all those who have come out of this sad pilgrimage to thy joy. There are the sheep and the lambs that have come out of the snares of this world, and who ever rejoice in their eternal fatherland. Their adornment and glory is by no means equal, but they live in equal joy. There full and perfect love rules, for God is all in all, whom they behold unceasingly and with constant contemplation from the heart, they love and praise, praise and love. And all their activity consists in praising God without end, without interruption, and without tiring. O blessed shall I be in eternity, when after this life I shall hear the heavenly music, which will be presented by the citizens in the heavenly fatherland, together with the holy angels, to the praise and glory of the eternal King. O blessed, blessed shall I be, when I can also take part in this, and stand next to my King, next to my God and Lord, and behold him in his majesty, as he himself has promised me and said, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, the glory which I had with thee before the world was. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, Lord, my God. My soul thirsteth for thee, my God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before thee? O thou fountain of life, thou wellspring of all comfort and all joy, when shall I drink of the living water of thy comfort? When shall I leave this miserable vale of tears and behold thy glory, my Lord and my God? How my soul yearns for it, how it thirsts for thee. When shall I come and appear before thee? Lord Jesus, my comfort, my joy, my delight, thou dearest, fairest, and most loving one in my eyes, let me see the day of eternal bliss, the day of joy and salvation, which thou hast made, that we may rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, what a glorious, beautiful, bright, precious day that will be, which will last forever, and will have no evening, in which I will hear joy and delight, exultation, and giving of thanks into all eternity. Enter thou, my soul, into the joy of thy Lord. Enter my soul into his eternal bliss, into the house of the Lord thy God, which is full of great joy, which is glorious and indescribable and has no end. Enter into his joy, where there will never again be sorrow, but eternal bliss. There you will have all that your heart desires, and no heartache can enter there. That will be the living life, the most loving and joyful life, the one which lasts eternally. No enemy will be there to persecute us, and no evil lust to seduce us. But there will be the great peace and certain rest, soft, quiet, and loving bliss, joyfulness and precious glory, eternal blessedness, and the Holy Trinity, one eternal God in three persons, and three persons in one eternal Godhead, whom we shall behold in eternity, and rejoice eternally in the Lord our God. O joy above all joys, O bliss above all bliss, which is beyond comprehension, when shall I enter into thee, that I may behold my God who dwells in thee? I wish to go there and behold such great glory. Come, dear Lord Jesus, come and delay not. Come, Lord, my Savior. Come, Lord, thou comfort of all the heathen. Come, my light and my Redeemer. Deliver my soul from the prison of this misery, that I may come and praise thy holy name. O eternal kingdom, never-ending kingdom of heaven, in thee is the eternal light and the peace of God, which passeth all knowledge and understanding. In thee rest the souls of the saints. Eternal joy is upon their heads, and they are surrounded with gladness and exultation, but anguish and misery is far from them. Lord, my God, how glorious thy heavenly kingdom is, in which all saints reign with thee. They are clothed with light and bright splendor, and carry golden crowns upon their heads. They see thee face to face, and thou causest them to rejoice ever and again with thy peace. There is eternal bliss and no sadness. There is eternal joy and no suffering. There is eternal blessing and no tribulation. There is an eternal loving kindness and no hardships. There is the eternal light and no darkness. There is eternal life and no death. There is eternal good and no evil. There is constant youth and no old age. There is constant life and no end. There is constant adornment and no change. There is constant embellishment and no deformity. There is constant love and no hatred. There is constant good health and no sickness. There is constant exaltation and no end to it. There one experiences no pain, one hears no wailing, one sees no grief. They move in eternal joy and need not fear any evil. For there is the eternal good, which is nothing else than to behold the Lord God and see Him face to face. Blessed are they in eternity who have been rescued from this hard and dangerous life and have come to thy great eternal joy. Joyfully I move to sing when I thy goodness see. Let my exultation ring. My heart is filled with glee. Praises be to Christ my King. From sin I'm now set free. May I to this treasure cling. This is my heartfelt plea. Amen. 5. But where will the ungodly go, and how will it go with them? They will go with body and soul into everlasting punishment. Matthew 25:46. Yes, dear soul, just as the eternal joy and bliss, which will be the portion of the elect, neither can nor may be absolutely described, so also no one can imagine the indescribable anguish and torment in which the ungodly and damned will be eternally punished and tormented. When the fathers speak of the eternal pains of hell of the damned, they summarize it all in three words and say, there the punishment will be diversity, bitterness, and eternity. First, the pain and anguish of the damned in hell will be in so many various forms that no one can count them. For Scripture says they will be cast into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 22:13. He was in hell and in torments. Luke 16:23. Upon the wicked the Lord shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Psalm 11:6. Their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Isaiah 66:24. And they shall be afraid, pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Isaiah 13:8. The worm is spread under them, and the worms cover them. Isaiah 14:11. See, dear soul, with these and similar threats, Scripture shows to the ungodly that all cross, all misery, all lamenting, all tribulation, all torment, all pain, hunger, grief, anxiety, distress, thirst, heat, cold, sickness, aches, dying, destruction, languishing, despair, and everything else that cannot possibly be named or listed, this will be their eternal companion, and all of the abominable devils will be their hangmen. Secondly, they say, the manifold anguish and torment of hell will be so great and frightful, so bitter and acrid, that none of the damned can endure them, and yet they must endure all these things eternally. For Scripture says, in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Revelation 9:6. Yes, my soul, for them there will be neither life nor death, but they will be tormented and tortured between life and death in indescribable agony and grief. Just like glowing iron in a melting furnace, so the damned will be thoroughly heated and moved to anguish, beaten, smitten, and hammered for all eternity. Thirdly, the fathers say, their manifold and unbearable anguish and torment will not last only for a while, or even for a long time is not eternal. The Lord says, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Yes, my soul, if it would last only for a long time, then it would finally come to an end. But eternity has no end. The land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. Isaiah 34:9-10. Yes, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. Revelation 14:11. Just consider, dear soul, If a person were to lie eternally on a soft bed, eat only wonderful food and refreshment in a wonderfully beautiful room, and yet would be tied up on that bed and never again permitted to leave it, surely a person would not wish for that kind of life. But there the damned are not dwelling in sensual delights, but in eternal fires of hell, in everlasting wailing and anguish, in fearful stench and darkness, and will receive no crumb nor drop of refreshment throughout all eternity. Oh, listen to this, you poor miserable child of the world. Listen and take this to heart. You love the world and its pleasures and say, "In the world it is good. In the world it is good." Remember, the time is coming, and is certainly not far away, when you will say with the rich man in hell, "Oh, I suffer great torment in these flames." Yes, you will lament and say, "Oh, here it is not good. Here it is not good." And yet you must be there eternally. You will suffer there eternally and can never more avoid it. You'll be destroyed eternally and yet never more die. In unspeakable pain, yet there will be no end. O Lord Jesus Christ, grant ears to hear and hearts to understand, that I may diligently hear thy faithful servants and messengers, repent and ever separate myself from the children of darkness. Help me never to conform to this unbelieving world, so that I may not with it be thrown into the eternal torments of hell. Govern, teach, and guide me by thy Holy Spirit, that I may daily learn to live like a Christian, and, when it is pleasing to thee, die a blessed death, so that I may not come to the place of everlasting pain and torment, but be with thee, Lord, my Savior, and with all thy saints, and possess the joys of eternal life. Lord God, through thy great mercy, lead me the narrow way. Lord Christ, do thou preserve me, else I shall go astray. Keep me in true faith constant when evil times annoy. Grant that I nothing more want than heavenly festive joy. Amen. Amen. Amen.